Alabama player told us something about Nick Saban that Seth believes can help Bill O'Brien win a Super Bowl. We will tell you what that is next.
From the West Side, Lexus Traffic Desk, hazmat cleanup still underway on the East Ham Houston Tollway southbound at the Ship Channel Bridge. It is blocking your right lane. You're slow from Jacinto Port Boulevard. West Ham Houston Tollway southbound at Briar Fours. There's a stall over the right shoulder. Cloudy this afternoon with a high of 46, 41 degrees right now from the Trailer Wheel and Frame Weather Desk. I'm Elia Escobar for Sports Radio 610.
Last week, we had an excellent spot with Josh Jacobs, the former Alabama running back, and he just said something about Nick Saban that Seth viewed in a positive fashion. Here's what it was. We were asking Josh Jacobs about Nick Saban.
What's Nick Saban really like? What people don't understand about him is that he's actually, like, really chill. Like, people think he's, like,
no way.
I'm telling you, people think he's uptight all the time, but he's actually, like, really funny. Like, dude makes jokes all the time, literally. Yeah. And, like, he's really a player's coach. Like, at practice, like, he rarely yells at a certain player. But he'll get on the coaches, though, but not the players.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. So he'll go after the coaches. Yeah. Like, so it's almost like when you miss a block as a running back, do you feel kind of like, oh, I just got my guy yelled at?
Exactly. That'd be the goal. Like Coach Burns, he'll say every day when we go into a game, I want to have the least amount of things that he could say about the running back group in the meeting. You know what I'm saying?
And it becomes like a squad thing.
Yeah.
You feel like responsible to the squad to not make those mistakes.
I don't know if this is just me looking to feel good these days because, you know, I'm on this mental health kick and everything. That made me actually feel really good about Bill O'Brien because I, like, as you do when you hear any coach, you're like, all right, well, how does my coach stack up to this? I feel like Bill O'Brien, for his gruff exterior, actually does a pretty good job, and I think he's maybe gotten better at it over the last 5 years, of focusing on the right things to be angry about and not necessarily always turn it into, like, browbeating players. That goes a long way over the course of a season. And I guess the other side I don't know of it, and Wade, maybe you have a little bit more perspective on this. I don't know how hard he rides as assistant coaches. Not that that's the way you have to do it, but sometimes I get a little bit nervous that he's got so many of his buddies on the offensive staff.
Are we talking about Bill O'Brien or are we
Bill
talking
O'Brien.
About Saban?
Saban. No, Saban's going to make it as a coach. I'm worried about Bill O'Brien.
Okay. but Bill O'Brien, as far as him getting on players and getting on coaches, I'm not sure about how he is with the – I would think along that line, like, that coaching tree, as far as, like, the Belichick and the Sabins, they tend to be harder on the coaches on the coaching staff as opposed to the actual players. You got to think about a guy like Nick Saban, two things. One, 98% of the time, the players that he has there on his roster are better than any other players at their position in the country. So why are you dog-cussing the players? You have no need to. And then, secondly, it's very accurate when he says that, you know, Nick Saban dog cusses his coaches because it was like that in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is – they hold the coaching staff accountable. I would think that Bill O'Brien would be the same way, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that. I don't really talk to their coaching staff. But actually, I might know now because, you know, a couple of my guys are on the staff now. TJ's there.
That's Christian's true.
There. So I'll probably know that in a year, much more accurate depiction of that. In a year from now than right now.
But when Nick Saban was in Miami, does that sound similar? Like what Josh Jacobs describes, was that your experience with him
in
Miami?
Yeah, that was my exact experience in Miami. Like he was the type of guy that he would dog cuss a coach in front of everybody, dress him down, but he wouldn't do that to players like that. Unless you were just like a really... like you just really did some conduct detrimental to the team type activities, then that's when he would dog cuss you, kind of like a Manny Wright, things like that. But
I guess what is it about playing for Saban then that as a player, because you've described it as still not being the most pleasant thing in the world.
Oh yeah, just because somebody doesn't dog cuss you doesn't mean that they give a damn about you. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's two totally different things.
There's
There was no human connection at all. And I think over time, hopefully he's gotten better. And just listening to Josh Jacobs talk about it, he seems like he's more relatable to the players. But I guess it was like 14 years ago or 13 years ago, however it was, when he was my coach, that wasn't the guy that Nick Saban was. He was just very much a technically sound, very, very articulate guy that knew his stuff. And you could tell he was a hell of a coach. But as far as the personal relationships that he had with players, it wasn't there. And I don't know any guys that played on that team in Miami that says, like, yeah, I mean, like, I had a great relationship with Nick Saban. It just didn't happen because I think he wanted it that way. He's going to try to separate the players and, like, they're the product and they're the guys that are getting the job done, and that's it.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, Mad Radio, Wade Smith, former Texans Pro Bowler, is in with us. We're discussing Josh Jacobs, the former Bama running back, who told us last week on Radio Row that one of the things that kind of separates Nick Saban is how hard he is on the coaches versus the players. And I agree with what Seth mentioned about this, feeling positive about O'Brien in this specific aspect. I think Bill's best quality so far as a head coach is he has been able to rectify some real messes of situations in the regular season. 2-5 in 2015, 0-3 this season. I think in a lot of NFL situations, that would have gone downhill. He was able to keep the locker room together, and they were able to bounce back and make the playoffs both years. That is not easy to do. My question with Bill is, can he beat the big-time coaches in big games? Can he win against really good teams? But as far as him controlling the players, the locker room, I don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't worry about the player aspect, because even if you look at this, the various things that have happened over the years, you're talking about him putting out fires. The whole Dwayne Brown situation, he supported him throughout that whole deal. The whole standing, kneeling situation, he was all about the players. He's like, I'm going to make sure I do what the players want and make sure that they're good in whatever situation. So those relationships, like, even when you listen to, I think I was listening to Steven Anderson talking about on Radio Row during Super Bowl week, he was talking about how Bill O'Brien is more of a player's coach as opposed to Bill Belichick. And so if you, when Bill O'Brien first got here, you wouldn't think to yourself like Bill O'Brien is a player's coach, because he came in here, changed up everything. But in his heart of hearts, that's what he is. He's a former player himself, and he's a guy that understands players, and so that's who he is. But he melts together that aspect as well with the aspect of him being a technical, you know, kind of tough guy as well.
I know Wade wants to talk about Kevin Durant. I greatly enjoy this topic as well. And if you guys missed it and haven't heard it, Kevin Durant went viral this week with him admonishing the media. Here is a little snippet of Kevin Durant after a Golden State thrashing of San Antonio Wednesday night.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you, because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't go there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet, and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on, and we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
There's KD on Wednesday night. I'm going to guess Wade is going to take the Kevin Durant side on this one.
I'm just going to look at it like this. Kevin Durant, and I don't know why you would assume that, but I'm just going to say.
I'm just guessing.
Kevin Durant. What the hell? Kevin Durant has a propensity at being sensitive. That's his problem in the situation, because in this case, everything he said, I think, is super accurate. I think everything he says, Kevin Durant, in the situation, when they're asking him about what free agents moves that the New York Knicks are making when he plays for the Golden State Warriors, like, what kind of question is that? Like, to me, that is a non-starter. And you ask him it one time, and he answers it. And then you ask him it again the next day, and then he doesn't want to talk to you about it. And then you want to bring it up again because he didn't want to talk to you about it. He doesn't play for the New York Knicks. But the problem with Kevin Durant is he's done so many things in the past, and he has a reputation for being sensitive about things, about stuff that he sees on Twitter or whatever. And so people are just like, oh, here's KD being sensitive again. But it's like, nah, he was pretty accurate in all the complaints that he had in the exchange, in my opinion.
You know what he wasn't accurate about was that he was lumping the entire media together. Where when you talk to like the
But didn't he tell him, he told that dude, grow up. He was talking about him. And then he's like, I don't trust y'all.
He said, y'all.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't trust the media in general. That's not what he's not talking about. So what happened is you'll talk to one writer. The problem is in this current media environment, then there's 400,000 blogs that take a little snippet and write their own opinion piece about it. And the problem with Kevin Durant is that he hears and sees all those things.
But he shouldn't give them any snippets. This is if he wants to stop this from happening going forward, you just sit there and don't answer it.
Or
that
you
is
get
the strategy.
Boring answers.
But then he got admonished and asked, like, are you okay? Because he didn't give him any answers.
Just smirk at the little man who's asking the question.
That sounds good, but then they will kill him for just not
saying
anything.
Well, guess what? They're going to kill him for anything.
This is the difference, though.
Exactly. So, but his actual points he's making, I think, are accurate.
No, wait. I agree. The points he's making are accurate, but don't give him any scraps. If you have an issue with them, just stonewall them entirely, because the way he's fighting them right now is just basically giving them ammunition. This is a headline for all of these guys.
But what Seth is saying is that because one guy did it, he can't hold that against in the entire media, so you're going to punish the entire media because this one guy did you wrong?
He says he doesn't trust any of them.
It's hard.
Exactly. I think it's easy for a player to be like, you know what? I don't trust y'all, so I'm not going to mess with y'all. And it might ruin situations with people that didn't deserve it, but at the end of the day, I play for the Golden State Warriors, and I care about winning a championship this year, and that's all that matters.
But there's this, though, too. Like, this is what's annoying about Kevin Durant, is he's claiming he doesn't want drama, but he can't even make that claim without creating more drama. Steph Curry doesn't find himself in these situations. You know, like, these are, like, for the most part...
Steph Curry is not a free agent.
But no, but he also, but if Steph Curry were a free agent, Steph Curry would handle this by saying, like, listen, you guys know how I am about this. Like, I'm focused on the team. That's all there is to it. You know, like, he doesn't take it so personal. And that's where Kevin Durant, there's something about Kevin Durant.
He's sensitive.
He's just sensitive.
You're right about
but
that.
You can be accurate and sensitive at the same
time.
That's
a good point. You can be accurate and sensitive.
You can be completely
sensitive.
Accurate and factual and truthful with the statements that you're making. And be, he was sensitive when he was like, could y'all, I just want to come to work and play basketball. That he sounded sensitive.
But now where he's
but,
in
I
it,
mean,
but,
that's just, it is what it is.
But, he
but
is,
I think that he was accurate what he's saying.
He's inaccurate.
Stop
and
asking
he's saying,
him about the Knicks.
He's inaccurate and then he's saying y'all. Like if he's going to tip, if he's going to typify it as like all writers out there are going to take it and twist
Blog
and say
boys.
Whatever they want. Where for the most part, he's taking the most egregious examples in his mind, the one that bothers him the most, not to mention the guys that when he's following message boards and everything on his burner account.
You're talking about stuff like, in the past.
No,
you're
it's
bringing
all,
it to this
no,
situation.
No. This is all, these are the people he's talking about. He's talking about everybody that bothers him and lumping it into like, well, I'm not going to talk to any of you because this is what you all do.
Well, answer me
he
this.
Use the word y'all.
Is there any media members that didn't want to know his opinion on what happened in with the free agency for the New York Knicks and the trade, the whole trade situation? Is there any media member that if he would have given them something, they wouldn't have wrote on it?
No.
Exactly.
But that's different than twisting it. But that's different than twisting it.
But it's still the fact that media members want to know about that, and I feel like that's something that it does not matter as far as from the player's perspective.
Because
his whole point was he's saying you guys are getting teammates riled up, you're getting the fans riled up, talking about something that I have no control over. I don't control what the Knicks do with their free agents, with their trade moves and stuff like that. He's not part of that franchise.
Let me address that. We're debating KD's comments on Wednesday night with Wade Smith in. I'm going to borrow a phrase that Nick Wright said about this very topic on his Fox Sports 1 show. Kevin Durant, when he went to Golden State, made the devil's bargain. The devil's bargain is this, is that you're going to go there and your team is so stacked that you're going to win championships. The problem is that you're not going to get all the credit. Your team's not going to necessarily get all the credit. And now you have made the basketball so damn uninteresting that by far the most interesting stuff is who actually moves where. Right now, as Brian Windhorst said on ESPN.
To the media.
I think to everybody, to the fans.
Okay,
the
let's
most,
make sure we qualify that.
Yes, to the most powerful person in basketball right now is Kevin Durant. And the reason why is because he controls the balance of power in the NBA. If he stays with Golden State after this season, after they win another championship, they will keep winning more championships. If he does not, it changes the whole balance of power in the league. The Warriors will still be title contenders, but you'll have other teams, by virtue of that one single move, become eligible, able to win a championship. And that very power is the reason why people are much more interested in the other stuff, the free agency, and where he's going to go, because I think he will go to the Knicks, than the actual basketball that he's playing right now.
And Draymond Green was suspended because he was addressing free agency to Kevin Durant. Like, that's a situation you can't ignore. It was a factor. Like, that was a basketball. He wants to keep it on the court. Okay, how about the fact that Draymond Green attacked you publicly and was suspended for it by your own team, specifically because of free agency?
I understand why the media and the fans want to see it and want to hear about it and want to get insight on it. But at the same time, from Kevin Durant's perspective, he should not have to address questions that have nothing to do with him.
And he doesn't.
They has to do with people's speculation of
right.
him.
But he doesn't have to address it. Like he just, but he.
But
created.
When he didn't address it, they asked him a question about why didn't you address it? Like, right. Why are you? Is everything okay with you? Because the fans have been asking, like, why is KD? Yeah. Why is he not talking? Is he sad? Why does he have to? I feel like he should not have to talk about that stuff at all.
And 99% of the players in the league would like have done it like in a way that wouldn't have created more content. That's why I don't believe. Like, I don't believe Kevin Durant when he says he doesn't want people saying all this stuff. I feel like he feeds on it even if he doesn't realize it. He's the same way when you go to Twitter and you're like, this is bad for me. I'm angry. Why am I on Twitter? And yet you keep going back. Kevin Durant is a little bit like that. He's a low-key diva. The same way he hides his tattoos, low the same key. Way he does all this. He just, he wants to be viewed as hard,
wait,
but
wait.
He's also a
okay,
diva.
I must say, like, tattoos make you a diva? That's the first I've never heard that.
No, have you seen his tattoos? Yes.
I have not.
He's got a silhouette of...
A silhouette?
No, no, no.
A tank top.
He's got a tank top of tattoos because he doesn't want them to be seen when he's sleeveless or anything.
Right.
So you can't see them anywhere. So it's like
is that a branding thing?
He wants to have the tattoos, but he also wants to stay wholesome at the same time.
Yeah, a branding thing.
That's where he wants the best of both worlds. And like, I feel like when he gets up in those, he thinks he's in that press conference. He thinks he's coming off hard when he's coming off really, really sensitive and soft. And like, that's what's annoying about it.
I don't know if he thinks he's.
He's like
off
a Justin
hard.
Bieber. Because I don't think anybody looks at that.
He could look at himself, and I don't look at him and think to myself like, KD is hard. I feel like he's showing that he's sensitive, and stuff gets to him, and it bothers him.
Exactly.
But at the same, but that's my whole point, though. Just because he's sensitive doesn't mean what he's saying is not accurate.
That's my point. I've said again. Like what he's saying is accurate. Just don't give the media scraps. Like that's the only way you win this. If you keep doing this, they're going to keep asking you every single day. You just got to shut. That's how you beat them.
You know what's accurate? A train wreck, and you'll watch that train wreck. Hey, by the way, there's an 8-car pileup down on 59 right now. But don't look at it, even though it's accurate. It's a car wreck. I'm going to go look at it. That's what he is. He's a train wreck. Car wreck. Any kind of wreck you want.
Let's bring in Landry on this.
No offense to anybody that just recently suffered a wreck, and now, yeah.
In the loop, top of the hour, Landry, what do you guys have on the show this morning?
We're going to do our all-time Texans teams, and Sean Pendergast is going to judge them. Wade, I don't know if you made the cut or not. I'm not going to unveil that. You may have. Don't try to look at my notes here.
I'm not looking at your notes. I'm just saying.
We got to see.
Check the stats, baby. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Make the team, not make the team.
It was between you and Xavier Suafilo, so I don't know. I had to flip a coin.
Second-round draft pick, man. First pick, second round, man. Damn it.
Also,
maybe next year.
In the loop is more concerned about the Texans defense than offense heading into 2019. We're going to discuss that. James Ahedebo is going to come in and solve all the problems. And we're just going to ask this question flat out. At what point is it okay for a son to tell his dad to shut the hell up?
It's a good question. In the loop, coming up at the top of the hour, Wade Smith in with us. We finish up this morning with What's on Tap, brought to you by Twin Peaks. What's on Tap brought to you by Twin Peaks, where the coldest 29-degree beers are always on tap. The TriStar Collector Show is this weekend, all weekend long at NRG Arena. In fact, I believe Sean and Rich are broadcasting there live later today.
You should go out there, everybody.
Yes, everybody. Go out there. I always enjoy looking at the... I have to admit, I'm not a huge autograph guy, but I do enjoy looking at collectibles and different things that people can put up in living rooms and game rooms and that kind of stuff. I enjoy those kind of... things.
I like looking at the autograph collectors. I'm like, oh, look at that guy.
Look at that guy.
I like to find the randomest thing I can. They've had George Washington letters at these shows before. You can find some awesome throwback jerseys as well. I've always thought about getting an Indiana State Larry Bird jersey.
How much does a George Washington letter go for?
I'm guessing $10,000 plus.
I would think more to be hundreds of thousands.
George
Washington, man, you just find the right person.
It's like art.
Like somebody might buy something that looks like someone that threw a piece of paint, just threw some paint on the wall and pay a couple $1 million for it.
So, I bet a lot of those letters now that Hamilton's such a big hit, a lot of those would have been actually transcribed by Alexander Hamilton when he was his secretary. Hmm. And that might have been, there you go.
What's on Tap? Rockets play the Thunder tomorrow night. James Harden, Russell Westbrook. This is going to be the showcase game on ABC as the Rockets are coming off a strong showing on the road swing. Paul, I know you're going to the Fertitta Center this weekend.
Yes, it is the best game college basketball-wise on Sunday. 12th-ranked Houston hosts 25th-ranked Cincinnati. Should be a whole lot of fun. May or may not be bringing a friend to go watch the actual match itself.
A friend!
This is the first time that I have been to Fertitta Center, and I feel like for a matchup between two ranked teams, it is probably going to be quite loud in there, so I'm very excited for that.
So are you bringing the polyamorous girl with you?
No, we haven't heard from her. We don't know what happened.
Of the multiple men that the polyamorous women will have of relationships in her life, Paul will not be one of them.
R.I.P. in peace.
She didn't make the squad.
I feel like it was a bad fit. I gotta say.
No, it wasn't. I very much enjoyed staring at her while yoga was happening. Doing yoga and being in my zen.
Yoga was happening. All right, What's on Tap brought to you by Twin Peaks. Also, the Texas Home and Garden Show is happening this weekend at NRG Park.
What?
The Houston RV Show this weekend at NRG Center.
Yes. You know, I'm all about the RV show. I might come back. I might be living in an RV by Monday if I find the right one there.
If you go, I think that'll end up happening.
I think I might get an Airstream. And a lot of people be like, oh, those are just shiny toys and they're expensive. Dude, these Airstreams are built like they're like brick bleep houses.
Mm.
These things will last forever.
Wade, thank you very much.
It's always real, fellas.
Wade Smith in studio every Friday on Mad Radio. We're back Monday at 6. It is a Freddy's Friday on Sports Radio 610. Be caller number 5 right now to win a 4-pack of Freddy's combo meals at 713-572-4610. Right now, win a 4-pack of Freddy's combo meals at 713-572-4610. Caller 5. All thanks to Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers.